Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it's been a newsworthy week. But something that perhaps escaped your attention, it had escaped mine until preparing for this program. The bonobo, humanity's closest cousin, appears to communicate in a way scientists believed was exclusive to humans. No, it's not swearing. Researchers from University of Zurich and Harvard, just before they ran out of money, said, like a week ago, that bonobos combined their vocalizations, their peeps, grunts, whistles, and more. Let's have more, shall we, bonobos? To create complicated meanings. Researchers said it's similar to the way humans string words together to make unique sentences. Or, in the case of a lot of humans these days, complete gibberish. This is a communication pattern known as non-trivial compositionality. Researchers said it is widely used by bonobos. Combining these words or vocalizations is an advanced feature of communications, creating depth of meaning. Whatever happened to that? Researchers published their new study in the peer-reviewed journal Science. The journal Science would be a real addition to the literature. The only other animal known to employ this kind of language pattern is us. In other words, humans and bonobos can arrange their various calls to create unique and new complex meanings. This is how humans create meaningful speech, or in the more recent examples, meaningless speech, combining words into never-before-spoken sentences that anyone can understand. Because the bonobo shares this trait, it may reveal the evolutionary past of language. Lead author Melissa Berthet, a researcher at the University of Zurich, said, quote, "This suggests that the capacity to combine call types in complex ways is not as unique to humans as we once thought," unquote. In case you're not familiar with bonobos, I've been a kind of a fan of theirs for years. They're very similar in body size and shape to our generational fathers and mothers, the chimpanzee. The only difference is our fathers and mothers, the chimpanzee from whom we inherited oh so much, they solve their difficulties and differences by fighting. Bonobos solve the same kinds of problems with sex, with anybody and everybody and every possible combination thereof. So when we die off, maybe in about 60 million years, this place will be run by bonobos. More beds, please. Hello, welcome to the show.
So suddenly, life turns out to be a song. One never knows, does one, the moment or the place. I right before your eyes, someone occupies your embrace. Someday, look and you'll find two hearts that were blessed. Someday, fate may be kind. Pray for the future, hope for the best. One never knows, does one? It's just the way it goes. All at once you hear, hold me, caress me, and then, love may come to win. One never knows.
Never have I been happier to say these words from the Crescent City from New Orleans, Louisiana. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, our newest feature.
The Chainsaw Massacre.
Well, mistakes will be made. We were told that, and they were certainly right. They're good at it. The National Park Service has reversed edits and restored content to its web page about Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad. That in the wake of news reports and public backlash over the changes. Backlash helps, apparently. Quote, changes to the Underground Railroad page on the National Park Service's website were made without approval from NPS leadership, nor department leadership, said the spokeswoman for the Park Service. In an email, the web page was immediately restored to its original content, she added. She didn't say who ordered the changes or for what reason. Because, you know, Doge. The changes, first reported by the Washington Post, included removing Tubman's picture from the top of the page and making multiple edits to the text. A side-by-side analysis of the pages revealed changes that removed references to slavery. What's that? And changed descriptions about the issue and its brutal realities. This, according to the Associated Press, which gets punished for its coverage of brutal realities. The original opening sentence referenced the railroad's core role in the, quote, resistance to enslavement through escape and flight, unquote. The edited version called the railroad one of the most significant expressions of the American civil rights movement and described how it, quote, bridged the divides of race, religion, sectional differences, and nationality, unquote. That would come as news to them. The issue comes amid the sweeping government changes to comply with the felon president's campaign against so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion policies in the federal government. In some cases, officials have scrambled to remove and then restore online content as changes came to light. Trump has also targeted, as you know, the Smithsonian. He's tasked Vice President Vance with heading the effort to purge what Trump called, quote, improper ideology, unquote, in the Smithsonian's depictions of American history. Among the public controversies has been the Pentagon's wholesale deletion of pages related to the Navajo Code Talkers' contributions in World War, it says here, one, I think they mean two, and baseball legend Jackie Robinson's military career. Both of these pages were quickly restored when public outcry ensued. And in February, Elon Musk's Brooklyn Dodgers turned up at the U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. You know, it regulates, among other things, the kinds of self-driving cars that Elon Musk wants to build. Doge promptly called 4% of the, culled 4% of the federal watchdog staff. The Transport Safety Agency issued no fewer than 50 recall notices for Tesla's cars between 2021 and 2024. Some could be fixed with an over-the-air software update. Others, such as bodywork falling off Cybertrucks, required an actual physical recall. NHTSA and Tesla have also squabbled over the automaker's full self-driving mode for its vehicles. Critics say that is a misnomer, if nomer it be. It's now been reported the sackings at NHTSA disproportionately targeted staff whose jobs involved, guess what, regulating self-driving cars. Even some senior Tesla staff think that was a bad idea. One manager at Tesla told the Financial Times, quote, letting Doge fire those in the autonomous division is sheer madness. We should be lobbying to add people to NHTSA. Of course, he means Tesla people. The watchdog proposed at the end of last year a national framework for testing and overseeing the safety and abilities of autonomous vehicles. The quoted manager said the regulator needs to finish up and publish that framework, giving manufacturers a clear view of the regulatory hurdles they need to clear in the autonomous space, or, quote, Tesla doesn't have a prayer, unquote, for scaling up its self-driving ambitions. Layoffs at NHTSA could set back or water down that framework. Musk is betting heavily on driverless cars and taxis. Last year, he unveiled a mock-up of a cyber cab. That's got to look nice. And promised it would be on the road by a couple years from now. Self-interest, quote, Musk has attacked the Federal Aviation Administration and Federal Communications Commission to benefit SpaceX, said a top official formerly at the regulator. Why would he spare NHTSA? Unquote. A critic of Tesla's full self-driving so-called software says, it is the only self-driving vehicle system in production that doesn't use light detection and ranging sensors, that's called LIDAR, to scan the road and build a 3D map of the scene. Musk, not a big fan of LIDAR because it's too expensive. He prefers to rely on cheaper radar and cameras, which can be fooled in amusing ways, according to the British tech journal, The Register, to control its vehicles. The chainsaw massacre continues. Meanwhile, in other news of Musk love,
looks like Musk love.
Well, as we've discussed on this program, the 53-year-old multi-billionaire is still playing video games and still bragging about his ability to win at video games and still cheating, I think is one of the words used. Well, His gaming live stream this week abruptly ended after he was mercilessly trolled by other players. He went live as part of a, quote, airborne continuity test, unquote, for his Starlink satellite system. He recorded himself playing Path of Exile 2 on his private jet. There's a combination. The world's richest man often brags about his gaming prowess. He faced a slew of taunts after he was defeated by the video game's first boss, known as the Bloated Miller. Musk remained stony-faced and largely speechless for about 90 minutes. He received a tirade of death threats, jabs at his appearance, and slights over Doge before he finally claimed he lost connection. Oh, quote, one gamer to Musk, "You have no real friends and will die alone." Another one, quote, "You ruined the country just like you ruined all your marriages," unquote. Musk finally broke his silence when a gamer said he was, quote, "dumb and ugly," and said Tesla was, quote, "falling apart." Musk replied, "There are a lot of R blank 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 S in this chat." One person wrote in claiming to be his recent wife, Ashley St. Clair. "Elon, it's me." In February, the real Ashley St. Clair said she'd given birth to his youngest child. This one, maybe the same one, maybe not, said, quote, "I have no other means of contacting you, so I bought the early access to this game just for this. Please pay your child support. Thank you, Elon." Another repeatedly posted, "I am your lost son. Look at me, Father Elon," unquote. After the final tirade in the progression of insults, which merely said, quote, "die, die, die," unquote, Musk said, "Oh, we lost connection." No kidding, unquote. Speaking finally of said person, it occurred to me that one reason he may have initiated a war of words with Trump's tariff advisor, Peter Navarro, most hardcore member of the Trump administration on the subject of tariffs and their benefits, might be because as tariffs kick in, we're already seeing in some places, prices rise for daily necessities. Now, this weekend, the Trump administration announced it was waiving or exempting or pausing or whatever the most vague term possible for tariffs on electronics. I guess Tim Cook is happy he showed up at the inauguration. But the tariffs on, as I say, household goods, daily necessities, remain in place. That might move lower-income families to reconsider their plans to have more children. And one thing Elon Musk wants in the world is more children, because the world needs them. Otherwise, we'll get taken over by the bonobos. And now,
let me tell you about the bees. Yeah!
Insecticides can help protect crops against troublesome pests, but they also pose a risk for beneficial insects, such as pollinators, you know that. Now a study led by researchers at Penn State, not Quaker State, that would just be the oil, provides insight into how even sub-lethal doses of insecticides can negatively affect pollinators by disrupting the mating process. Well, this is how we deal with the bonobos. The study published by the Journal of Science of the Total Environment looked at the effects of imidacloprid, a neonicotinoid that is among the most widely used insecticides globally. The researchers found that exposure to the insecticide, even at sublethal levels, reduced successful mating in bumblebees and altered the chemical signaling of both males and gynes. Those are female bees capable of reproduction. You learned a word today. So did I. It also negatively impacted both sperm viability in males and lipid storage in, say it with me now, gynes. Pollinators such as bees are facing global declines, and pesticides, including neonics, are among the key suspects. After pesticides are applied to seeds or plants, these chemicals persist in the soil, pollen, and nectar, giving pollinators multiple routes of exposure. If we haven't killed you yet, stick around. News of the bees. And ladies and gentlemen, just proving that there are winners, even in trade wars. This from the Canadian Press, Dateline Toronto. A Passover staple will be absent. By the way, happy Passover. And it's coming up, happy Easter. Okay, I did that. A Passover staple will be absent across much of Canada this year, thanks to restrictions on the sale of American booze, thus bringing the trade war to the Seder table, where, for untold generations, those participants have partaken of Manischewitz wine. Manischewitz wine is a mainstay of Jewish celebrations and ceremonies. It's manufactured in New York. So many provinces have pulled it from the shelves in response to the thing. As a knock-on effect, Manischewitz will be missing from many Canadian Passover seders. Rabbi Aaron Flanzerich said it seems to be becoming a symbol of the wider suffering and hurt that Canada is going through, unquote. Four cups of wine are traditionally drunk throughout the seders. The ceremonial meal on the first and second night of Passover, which begins this Saturday. Flanzerich said he's fielded a number of calls from congregants asking him what they should use instead of Manischewitz. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the host of this program speaks to you as somebody who had to drink too many glasses of that stuff when being raised and having to participate and partake in many seders. Quote, seeing that bottle and that label on your table, it's a flood of memories, Flanzerich said. In some respects, it's an anchor that takes the moment, brings it back to where you come from, and also brings it forward to where you're going. I think he means that more literally than he means. He said some people are driving down to Buffalo to pick up bottles, but in answer to the question what they should drink instead of Manischewitz, he says, use whatever red wine they have on hand. He neglects to say, it's got to be better than Manischewitz. Winners in the trade war, Canada.
I love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovelies weeping on the faraway shore, out on the briny with a moon big and shiny, melting your heart of stone. I love to get you, I love to get you on a slow go 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 to China. all to myself alone. I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. I'm gonna get you and keep you in my arms forevermore. Leave all your lovelies just weeping on the faraway shore. Out on a briny with a moon big and shiny, melting a heart of stone. I love to get you on a slow boat, on a slow boat to China, all to myself, all alone. China, all to myself alone. Yes, get you and keep you in my arms forevermore. Leave all your lovelies weeping on the faraway shore. With a moon big and shining, melting your heart, heart of stone. You know I love to get you on a slow go to China, all to myself. China.
Direct from spectacular Mar-a-Lago, where just like Washington, Congress stays out. This is my favorite president welcoming you in another edition of Trump Social Audio, brought to you by Trump Hand Cream. Take it from the stars. Your hands never felt so soft and looked so orange. The lunatic left is trying to start a panic about tariffs. Somehow they hate the most beautiful word in the English language, although the most beautiful word for the fake news might be prosecution. They keep yapping and yipping about how tariffs seem to go on one minute and off the next. Somehow they don't understand how a real tariff policy works. I explained all this during the most successful election campaign in history, when they kept accusing me of changing the subject. It's called the weave. It's like three tariff policies in one. a candy mint, a breath mint, and a revenue mint. But they'll never learn. Speaking of which, there's a little problem called China. Stupid people are saying we're in a trade war with them, but today I'm taking a powerful next step right after I finish recording this. I'm going to sign the biggest executive order in history. It renames almost everything over there. The Great Wall of China will now forever be known as the Great Wall of America. On the dinner table, fine China will now be called fine America. Chinese food will be hot American food. The South China Sea is now the South American Sea, although someone could think that's named after South America, so Stephen Miller is still working on that. Chinatown, Americatown. Beijing will now be Bing. Shanghai will just be Hai. Even Chinese checkers will now be known as hot American checkers. And Tiananmen Square is hereby renamed Trump Square. These changes will take effect at midnight tonight unless I get a personal phone call from President Xi himself. It may sound harsh, and it should, but in the long run, giving Chinese things American names will be good even for China. Look how good it's been for us. That's it for today. Next week, I'll be signing another executive order fixing the climate. Talk to you then.
Trump Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Sharpies. If something's got to be black, make it a Trump Sharpie. So long. Now here's Ralph.
AI to the rescue, smarter every day. From work to play, it leads the way. Innovation, creation, it's here to stay. AI makes life better. Hip, hip, hooray.
I gotta give you credit for the rhyme, Ralph. You're a rhymester. Some of the takeaways from the AI Index Report 2025, a lengthy, in-depth publication from Stanford. The report stresses that complex reasoning, you know, like we do, is still out of reach for AI models, even with mechanisms such as chain of thought reasoning to boost their performance. Large language models, your LLMs, are unable to reliably solve problems for which a solution can be found using logical reasoning. This makes them unsuitable for many applications, just the ones that require reasoning. However, the Institute for Human-Centered AI, your HAI, highlights the enormous level of investment still being pumped into the sector. Global corporate AI investment reaching $252.3 billion last year, up 26% for the year. Most of this is in the U.S., which hit $109 billion, nearly 12 times higher than China's $9.3 billion. And 24 times the UK's $4.5 billion. Despite all this investment, quote, most companies that report financial impacts from using AI within a business function estimate the benefits as being at low levels, according to the report. It says 49% of organizations using AI in service operations reported cost savings, followed by supply chain management, 43%, and software engineering, 41%. But in most cases, the cost savings are less than 10%. You could do the just canceling one of your phone accounts. When it comes to revenue gains, quote, 71% of respondents using AI in marketing and sales reported gains, 63% in supply chain management, 57% in service operations. But most common level of revenue increase, less than 5%. You could just cancel half your phone bill. The report claims AI is beginning to deliver financial impact across business functions, but most companies are early in their journeys, unquote. That's the great thing about modern America. Everybody's got a journey. And now, News of the Olympic Movement. Produced by Jim Ebersole III. Well, some events won't have venues yet, and some of them won't be where they were supposed to be. Santa Monica officials announced this week formal talks with the organization committee for the 2028 Games about hosting Olympic beach volleyball in Santa Monica have ended. Santa Monica State Beach was tabbed to be the LA home for Olympic beach volleyball since the organizing committee's first bid way back in 2016. But when city officials in LA 28 could not reach an agreement about community benefits, organizational details, and financial guarantees, LA 28 informed Santa Monica last week it will pursue a new venue to host the event. Because there's other beaches, I guess. No, I know. After getting several new sites approved through a Los Angeles City Council vote last month, the committee is expected to reveal an updated venue proposal to the International Olympic Committee this coming week, according to the Los Angeles Quote, there's no better place to host the Olympic beach volleyball competition than Santa Monica, where the sport was born. We would loved to have been a venue city in 2028, said the mayor. While we're disappointed that an agreement was not realized, we remain eager to share in the excitement the Olympics will bring, unquote. A study released in October on the economic impacts of hosting the Olympic competition in Santa Monica found that being a venue city would result in a net loss of $1.5 million for Santa Monica, while not hosting the beach volleyball competition could still generate $10.6 million in profit because the city's got a status as a popular tourist attraction, supposedly. Tell that to the businesses in Santa Monica. And Los Angeles has made it official. Several 2028 Summer Games events will be held in nearby Oklahoma City. That is to say, in Oklahoma City. Hosting Olympic canoe slalom and softball at the next Summer Games comes with a price tag, $34.5 million guarantee to LA 28 organizers on the agenda of this week's Oklahoma City Council meeting. It's not a check we expect to write out, said the city's mayor to the Oklahoma newspaper. He said the $35.5 million would be only paid if the city fails to live up to its agreement with the LA Games, an amount reportedly based on what it would cost organizers to relocate back to the LA area. From their perspective, we've committed to do this, said the mayor. They committed to the IOC. These events will happen. They're relying on us to keep the commitment they made. Unquote. Oklahoma City has yet to estimate the economic impact of holding Olympic events at Oklahoma City's Riversport Rapids, a whitewater course along the Oklahoma River, and at Devon Park, the home of USA softball. But up to 200,000 spectators are anticipated. The competitions are being moved 1,500 miles away from SoCal in an effort to keep the cost of organizing the games down by utilizing existing facilities rather than building new venues, which is pushed by the IOC. Using these specialized facilities, Oklahoma has been on the table for several years. The venues weren't approved by the LA City Council until late last month. While these are the first out-of-state venues finalized, they may not be the last. There's no decision yet on a location for cricket. New York has been touted as a possibility. And Galway Downs officials and local politicians expressed disappointment this week at the news that that venue in Riverside County is no longer being considered to host equestrian sports for the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. Quote, we're extremely surprised we were suddenly removed from consideration. We don't understand how, based on the March 28th City Council's vote of approval, that this could happen, said Galway Downs owner Ken Smith. I'll tell you how. It's the Olympics, and it's a movement, and we need one every day. And now, Oh, yeah. It's a crypto winter. But there's a break in the crypto winter this week. Felon-in-chief Donald Trump has pardoned the three co-founders of cryptocurrency exchange BitMEX, according to a White House official. In addition, former employee Gregory Dwyer and an entity owning and operating the crypto exchange received full and unconditional pardons. That's been confirmed by BitMEX. Trump granted pardons to co-founders Benjamin Dilo, Arthur Hayes, and Samuel Reed, who had pleaded guilty in 2022 for failing to implement a Bank Secrecy Act compliant anti-money laundering program. We don't like laundering. The pardons come at a time of optimism in the crypto industry about looser regulation under Trump. He courted crypto donors during his campaign, and of course he now has crypto coins of his own that he's selling. News of the crypto winter.
This is kind of a pinhead's view of China with nice inside Chinese music and everything. You'll learn a great deal. Very far away in a foreign land, there's a yellow woman and a yellow man. He's been around for many a year. They say they were there before we were here, eating rice all day while the children play. You see, he believes in a family just like you and me. Oh, yellow man, whoa, yellow man. We understand, you know we understand. He keeps his money tight in his hand with his yellow woman. He's a yellow man. Got to have a yellow woman when you're a yellow man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week. Copyrighted feature.
We're so sorry.
Adobe's foray into the Twitter alternative Blue Sky quickly backfired. Frustrated by the company's business practices, users on the platform flooded its posts with backlash, ultimately prompting Adobe to delete all of its content, almost as if they were Elon Musk at a gaming thing. Quote, hey, we're Adobe. We're here to connect with the artists, designers, and storytellers who bring ideas to life. That was what Adobe's first post on Blue Sky said. It's since been deleted. What's fueling your creativity right now? Was the final word in the post. It was an innocuous enough post that Adobe sent out past Tuesday, but as futurism reports, it provoked the ire of Blue Sky users who immediately began airing their grievances with the company. Quote, I assume you'll be charging us monthly to read your posts, one user wrote, in reference to Adobe's switch from we'll sell you our software to a subscription model in which you'll pay us every month for our software. On the same day, Adobe set up a Blue Sky account for Photoshop. That, too, was bombarded with negative comments. Quote, go back to the fascist-owned site where they enjoy supporting AI-generated art like your brand does, wrote one. Quote, y'all keep raising your prices for a product that keeps getting worse, wrote another. As of this weekend, both Adobe and the Photoshop accounts remain on Blue Sky. Both their opening posts have been removed. Price hikes and an embrace of artificial intelligence have all added to the vitriol many photographers and creatives direct towards the company. But according to Petapixel's editor-in-chief, quote, Adobe couldn't explain why it let its once excellent relationship with photographers and media elapse, only that it is sorry that happened, unquote. TD Bank, I'm old enough to remember when it was called Toronto Dominion. Yes, it's Canadian. U.S. agencies in October laid out its anti-money laundering failures and announced a $3.09 billion settlement with the bank. That marked the darkest day for the Canadian lender, according to board chair Alan McGibbon this week. Quote, the settlements were extraordinarily painful, McGibbon said, according to the Globe and Mail. The October 10th public consent agreements was the darkest day we could have imagined it to be, and I apologize to all investors for how difficult this was and the consequences of the actions, unquote. McGibbon comments came in response to a shareholder's question at the bank's annual general meeting. First opportunity for investors to talk to the bank's brass in the months since the settlement, which included a $434 billion cap on the lender's U.S. retail assets, said Ray Chun, the new CEO. The bank is redesigning its training programs at all levels. Quote, it's about changing our culture, a culture of accountability and a culture of curiosity within our front lines and our second lines to ask why and be more curious to all these issues, unquote. Julie Natty, Bell, and Hanul are members of a K-pop band called Kiss of Life. They're apologizing to fans after a recent live stream drew backlash. The four-piece K-pop group went live on YouTube on April 2nd with a theme of, quote, old-school hip-hop vibes, unquote, dressed in attire stereotypically associated with hip-hop, and spoke using accents, you know, y'all, garnering criticism from fans who felt they made a mockery of black culture. Days later, the members issued a lengthy apology. We've shortened it to just that. The Trump administration issued a rare apology this past Friday. That was after Ukrainian refugees accidentally received emails informing them that the Department of Homeland Security would be terminating their legal protections. This, according to CBS News. Put this in the Chainsaw Massacre file, I guess. Mistakes will be made. DHS is now exercising its discretion to terminate your parole. Unless it expires sooner, your parole will terminate 7 days from the date of this notice. That's what the email said. It was sent on April 3 to an unknown number of the 260,000 Ukrainian refugees who entered the U.S. under the last administration. You know, the sleepy one. DHS added that anyone who did not comply would, quote, be subject to potential law enforcement actions that will result in your removal from the United States, unquote. Recipients were urged to self-deport through the home app. Quote, again, DHS is terminating your parole. Do not attempt to remain in the United States. The federal government will find you. Please depart the United States immediately, unquote. The federal department said in a statement obtained by CBS News, the message was sent in error to some Ukrainians under the U-41 program. The program had not been terminated. The DHS sent a correction to recipients of the initial email this past Friday. Quote, you may have received an email notification titled Notice of Termination of Parole. The Department of Homeland Security sent this email to you in error. No action will be taken with respect to your parole. And the Trump administration, as I mentioned at the top, did apologize for all that. The Pittsburgh Pirates have issued an apology to the family of Roberto Clemente. The team replaced a tribute to the late Hall of Famer on its right field wall at PNC Park with an ad for booze. Quote, when we added the advertisement to the pad, it was an oversight not to keep the number 21 logo, said Pirates President Travis Williams. This is ultimately on me, not anyone else in the organization. It was an honest mistake. Unquote. The criticism was ignited when photos of the new ad for a cocktail brand began popping up on social media. Clemente's son, Roberto Jr., expressed concern that no one from the Pirates organization had informed the family of the impending change. In a statement posted to social media, Clemente Jr. criticized what he called, quote, a lack of meaningful collaboration between the organization and the family on matters that are deeply personal and historically significant to us and the fans, unquote. The team statement said there was no intent to diminish Clemente's legacy and that the space had been used for ads previously. The Clemente logo was placed on the right field wall and way back in 2022 when the team didn't have a sponsorship for its coming out of the COVID pandemic. They tried to get a sponsorship for that? Quote, we want to make sure that the Clemente family understands that we intended no disrespect to their father, Williams said in a statement. We look forward to continuing our relationship with the Clemente family and apologize to them and our fans for our honest mistake. Unquote. And Mickey Rourke received a warning, but not an eviction, from Britain's celebrity Big Brother after making a series of homophobic comments aimed at his housemate, JoJo Siwa. According to the BBC, interactions between the actor and the openly gay internet personality have been laced with Rourke's, quote, offensive and unacceptable language. Producers ultimately stepped in with a warning that, quote, further language or behavior of this nature could lead to you being removed from the Big Brother house. Nobody wants that, right? Following the warning, Rourke was apologetic. Quote, I apologize. I don't have dishonorable intentions. I'm just talking smack, you know? I wasn't taking it all so serious. I didn't mean any bad intentions, and if I did, sorry. That's what he told the producers. He also apologized to his housemate, saying, quote, I've got a habit of having a short fuse, and I don't mean nothing like by it. I do mean it, sorry. If I didn't, I wouldn't say it to you. Siwa replied, quote, I appreciate your apology. And now you know whatever happened to Mickey Rourke. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now finally, news of the warm, won't you?
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
Global temperatures hovered at historic highs. There's your alliteration for you. In March, according to the EU agency that monitors climate change, that prolonged an unprecedented heat streak that has pushed the bounds of scientific explanation. In Europe, it was the hottest March ever recorded by a significant margin, said the Copernicus Climate Change Service. That drove rainfall extremes across continent warming faster than any other, as planet heating fossil fuel emissions keep rising. according to Agence France-Presse.
Ah, the French.
The world, meanwhile, saw the second hottest March in the data set, sustaining a near unbroken spell of record or near record breaking temperatures that has persisted since July of 2023. Since then, virtually every month has been at least 1.5 degrees Celsius hotter than it was before the Industrial Revolution, when humans began burning massive amounts of coal, oil, and gas. March was 1.6 degrees centigrade, sorry, Celsius, above pre-industrial times, extending an anomaly so unusual, scientists are still trying to fully explain it. That we're still at that level is indeed remarkable, said a scientist from the Grantham Institute for Climate Change at Imperial College London. We're very firmly in the grip of human-caused climate change, she told Agence France-Presse. Scientists had predicted the extreme run of global temperatures would subside after a warming El Nino event peaked in early 2024. But no, they've stubbornly lingered well into 2025, where we are now. We're still experiencing extremely high temperatures worldwide. This is an exceptional situation, said a leading scientist with the UN's climate expert panel. Scientists warn every fraction of a degree of global warming increases the intensity and frequency of extreme weather events, your heat waves, your heavy rainfall, your droughts. Warmer seas mean higher evaporation and greater moisture in the atmosphere, causing heavier deluges and feeding energy into storms. That's all. News of the Warm, copyrighted feature. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this edition of the show. Back next week, same time, same radio stations, or on your audio device whenever you want it. Love to sense your presence here again. The email address for this broadcast, or this podcast, or this cast, your chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts and the playlist of the music heard here on all at harryshear.com. And I'm on Blue Sky, sneering at Adobe. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions. It originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. So long. From the Crescent City.